You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
The secret to well-being is discovering the power that is your birthright. The power to create a happier, healthier life drawn from our own vast internal resources. Join Jules and her guests as they gently guide you to shift your perspective from the familiar negative to the divinely connected. A place that will not only positively impact your world, but possibly shift the planet. It's all right here on Law of Attraction Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Law of Attraction Talk Radio. I'm Jules from beautiful Southern California, and I'm so glad you could be with us tonight. So what does world peace have to do with the Law of Attraction? Well, I believe it has everything to do with it. For the last 8 years, you have been tuning into my show to learn how powerful you are on an individual basis. You have learned how to create abundance, prosperity, and great health individually. This was important for you to realize how your mind and belief patterns work. Did you realize this was but a training session for your true mission? Your mission, if you so choose to take it, is really about changing the world into the golden age. I know. There are many law of attraction gurus that state that you didn't come here to fix the world because the world isn't broken. It's all according to your thoughts and beliefs. So I'm coming to you with another scenario, and I am saying to you that, wait a minute, the world is broken. And not only that, you have an obligation to adjust it collectively through loving thoughts of peace and abundance. The majority of people on this planet are watching mainstream media. And because of that, we must overcome that individuals have lost their sovereign rights. They are enslaved. Truthfully, the secret, the DVD and the book was trying to show us that, wait a minute, the powers that be do not want us to know the secret. And that is our individual power to create everything that we need. I want to remind you that Deepak Chopra said in 2007 that this planet is at a crossroads. We can either let it be destroyed or we could shift it to a better place. This is our choice. We have been awakening at record speeds through the divinely orchestrated invention called the internet. We're finding out truths that were hidden before, and now we're on a course to correct it. A revolution with weapons and killing is simply no longer necessary. Today we understand that the way to correct things is through our own consciousness. And when we connect consciously to the mass consciousness, and that becomes the dominant belief, that's where we connect to the source energy. We are far more powerful today than we were years ago. And I believe that this was source energy's intention all along. People like Kimberly and Foster Gamble and the Thrive Movement were given a huge platform to make sense and to connect all the dots of what's really going on in the world. Fortunately, we are now hearing both sides of the story in which to make a planetary correction. Look at the huge shift that we have seen just in Western medicine and the pharmaceuticals. And the revelations that energy medicine may now be more efficient for healing of the human body. Look at the shift taking place with the economy globally. And believe it or not, this is so good because it allows a system of greed and corruption to finally release its hold on individuals. I often wonder if you, the ones who are listening to my show, realize that you're playing a huge and significant role in the betterment of the future. And for that, oh wow, I'm so grateful. You see, money has nothing to do with the law of attraction. Many of you have now discovered that everything you need or want will be delivered to you without you having any money. That discovery is what is leading us into a whole new dimension of individual power. And I'm not talking about handouts. I'm talking about manifestations. Real manifestations. So when you stop and ask yourself, well, what does the law of attraction have to do with world peace? You can say to yourself, everything. And you can be proud of yourself for going past material things into the true spiritual meaning of what our ancestors were trying to give to us and for our future generations. You individually are changing the world. Thank you for that. Now, I mentioned that I believe the internet is a divinely inspired invention for a specific purpose. As I mentioned in my speech in Nigeria, we have now the opportunity to connect with people one-on-one around the world through the internet. And this is our connection to the truth as to what really is happening. As a matter of fact, some of my dearest friends live in other countries, and amazingly, I've never met them in person. But via the internet, it's just like we're next door neighbors and we talk. This has afforded me the opportunity to talk with friends in Pakistan, Israel, Russia, Germany, Japan, and many other locations. You know, in war-torn areas, I get to experience my friend's devastating fear and then share the joy of his survival. I get to hear the bombs. I get to hear the sadness and the anger. And I'm truly connected to the world and the world issues in which I don't have to rely on the mainstream media who chooses only to give me what they think I need to know. This connection has awakened me to the simple fact that we human beings were all born with the same core instincts, which is to pursue our choice of happiness and to live in dignity in which to provide nurturing love to our children and families. I am no different from those living in the bush in Nigeria, nor those living in the Ukraine. We are no different from each other. We all want the same thing: safety, security, abundance, prosperity, dignity, and joy. So along those lines, I am so excited to bring you a wonderful man that I met while I was on my visit to Ilili, River State, Nigeria. His name is Dr. Hussein Danny Schumann, and we call him Dr. Danny for short. Dr. Danny, originally from Iran, has a dual citizenship in Germany, where he graduated from the University of Hamburg as a doctor of gynecology. He has had a very, very long career of delivering tens of thousands of babies. And after he retired from his private practice in Germany, he volunteered to design a state-of-the-art maternity ward for Madonna University because of his huge desire to help women survive the natural process of childbirth. Now, Madonna University is a medical school, and it gives free health care to the residents of Ilili. Actually, many more, because there are pilgrimages coming to the campus from all areas of Nigeria. It's really quite amazing to see. And tonight, I get to ask Dr. Danny about his thoughts on world peace and how to gain momentum. And I think you're going to be surprised by his simple suggestions. As a matter of fact, I think you're going to slap your head and say, oh, duh, of course. Why aren't more people thinking of this? So I'm bringing to you this wonderful man in the hopes that you will take what he says and connect consciously with others. So let's take a fast station break, and we'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network. heard by millions worldwide through 38 internet radio stations and in over 135 countries. Come join us on Facebook for your daily dose of inspiration and action that reveals the secret within you. You can find us at facebook.com/Law of Attraction Radio Network. That's facebook.com/Law of Attraction Radio Network. It's here, it's hot, and it's a must read. It's the science behind The Law of Attraction magazine. Every issue brings you great articles and in-depth how-tos from all your favorite Law of Attraction experts, authors, scientists, and medical professionals. Go to lawofattractionmagazine.net. That's lawofattractionmagazine.net.
Welcome back. You're listening to Law of Attraction Talk Radio with Jules. Just a few short announcements. Next week, the next issue of The Science Behind the Law of Attraction magazine will be out. And on the cover, we have two of my favorite people, Foster and Kimberly Gamble, who wrote exclusive articles about how the Law of Attraction plays into changing the world. And these articles are terrific. We also have Dr. Bruce Lipton talking about the huge controversy surrounding vaccinations, a very important article. We have articles about feeling good, how to attract love, how to live as an optimist. And we also have a special report from Parisha about the sun dances and Native American prophecies. We also have a special article written by me about my world peace trip to Ilili, Nigeria, with some great photos, especially the maternity hospital that I'm talking about tonight. There's also a really great article on how you may be blocking signs from the universe, and this is really, really important. I think you're going to love this issue. Anyway, I loved being involved with it. So go to lawofattractionmagazine.net and read the latest issue for just $3.99, or read all of the past issues for $5.99. Or sign up and we'll mail you a beautiful print copy to go to your home or office. So remember, lawofattractionmagazine.net. Also, I want to remind you that we're having our Law of Attraction Singles Cruise out of Long Beach, California on October 22nd through the 25th. And we're getting so many signups. This is going to be so much fun. Now, the rates will go up by June 13th. So in order to secure these low rates and get the best cabins, you need to put down your $100 deposit. I'm giving you fair warning here. Don't miss out on the savings. During this cruise, you will be dancing, singing, and playing, and possibly meeting a romantic connection that you have been waiting for. So hurry up, sign up today, secure your place for just $100. Go to loaradionetwork.com/love-boat, or just go to loaradionetwork.com and look on the menu for the love boat. With that, I want to introduce a wonderful person to you, Dr. Hussein Danny Schumann. As I mentioned, Dr. Danny is an Iranian, and at the ripe old age of 27, Dr. Danny's sister urged him to move to Germany and enter Hamburg University Medical School. Since that time, he has championed women's rights for a safe and healthy birthing process, allowing the mother and child to not only survive, but to thrive. Dr. Danny goes and stays in Ilili for months at a time. That in itself is a difficult feat because it's a very primitive lifestyle. It's not anything like we're used to. Electricity is not stable. The internet is not stable. There are not washers or dryers, and there's no hot water. Showers did not work, but with the tropical heat, I got to tell you, the cold buckets were refreshing, and it was everything I needed to wash my hair. To protect foreigners from being kidnapped, we were behind large, solid iron gates, and the cars were scrutinized with mirrors for bombs underneath. And there were men with machine guns accompanying us to and from the airport. The first hour I was in Nigeria was spent in customs, where we actually had to pay off people to accept my valid medical vaccination documentation. The corruption of the Nigerian government was in your face, and it was not hidden at all. Just to note, while at the airport leaving Nigeria, the TSA agents actually wanted to be paid off in cash, which really was not a comforting thought to me getting on that plane heading out. So Dr. Danny spending months away from civilization is absolutely amazing, and my respect for this man and his dedication to women around the world is not of short order. He is a true blessing to this world. Welcome, Dr. Danny, to Law of Attraction Talk Radio. I am so delighted that you could join me today.
Thank you, me too.
I met you in Nigeria, and I was so impressed by what you have achieved. And I was just wondering, you are a retired obstetrician, and yet, when you could be relaxing and going on trips around the world, you went to a very remote area, a bush area in Nigeria, to build a maternity ward at Madonna University. Why did you do this instead of doing other lovely things?
Yeah, the reason was back to 1988. It was in Rio de Janeiro, and it was a World Congress of Obstetric and Gynecology. And I heard for the first time terrible statistic figure, and it was over 500 million ladies, young ladies, dying during the pregnancy or pregnancy-related diseases. And of course, I didn't forget this number. And during decades, the figure has gone even up and by no means down, in spite of all progress of medicine. So I have treated numerous individuals during my decades of obstetric and gynecology. And after the retirement, I was happy if I could do in a broader scale, mm-hmm. not the individuals, but much more than individuals, to reduce these figures. And the Nigeria and all other sub-Sahara countries are especially vulnerable for these problems. So that you get a comparison, in Sweden, one of 18,000 ladies dies during the pregnancy. And in Sierra Leone, one of 10 ladies, that is unimaginable. And right, when the lady dies, often dies the baby too, and if not, the whole family is ruined. So that was my motive.
Wow. Wow. That's pretty amazing statistics. So you picked Madonna University, and you built this hospital, maternity ward. Oh my goodness, I was so impressed by the latest technology that you actually put in there, the new beds and the incubators. But it's not an easy feat for you, because you are living in primitive conditions in order to get this accomplished.
Yeah, that was and that is a tall order. Mm-hmm. Not only logistically, but technically, but also mentally, because that's a high-tech clinic. And that is why, for example, in modern countries, the maternal mortality is so low, and in other countries so high. So that is really tall order, what the technique and personal involves. And nevertheless, if you begin something, you try to end it, and that is difficult. And actually, I should be supposed to be in 2 years finished, and now I am 5 years and still working on it.
Yes.
So that is the problem. That is really the problem, especially the to change the people, the mental way of working. You know, you have sometimes the impression all worker, they don't have anything to lose. So appropriately, they, for example, don't know anything of making the work as quick as possible. And that is vital in obstetrics, because if a lady is bleeding, you have to hurry up. You can't be relaxed. You know, in no time, the lady has lost 3 liters blood and is dead. And to, teach the people this point, that's very difficult. That is my most challenging point.
What I hear you saying is that they don't recognize the urgency of medicine. They're just taking it a step at a time on their own time scale.
Yes, that is one point, but I think the major point is that they have simply used to terrible accident, terrible loss of life, you know. They are not seriously impressed, you know, when someone dies. You simply hear they say, oh, passed away, you know. For example, lady was delivered midnight once, and the next day I visited her and she was unconscious, and I had lots of things to do, so I couldn't visit her anymore on this day. And the next day I asked, where is the lady? And there was an old clinic, lots of ladies in the same room, and they told me, oh, but they passed away. And with calmness, you thought she has gone around the corner to buy some cookies.
Yeah, I see. So death is pretty normal there.
Normal there. That's the point. That's the point. They are used to it.
Wow. My goodness.
You suffer. Do you know we suffer because, that is a terrible to lose a young lady, but they don't see anything so special in this story. They happen more than often.
Wow.
That's the point.
Now, while I was there, I saw three babies, each in their own incubator. And they were born to a woman who had triplets. And you were at dinner one night. You were talking to us about this woman. And had she not been there, one of the babies would have died immediately. But my question is, because we met the woman and she had another child, what is life going to be like for her and her newborns and the child that she already has? What is life going to be like for her now?
Yeah. Actually, sad story. Do you know, if you hear from distance, the lady has got triples, it is so impressive. But the problem was that as the children were born, it was a cesarean section, and all of the babies were females. And there are some students there, and one of the female students whispered a bit loudly, so I got it. Terrible, poor lady with three girls, you know. She was herself a female. So the life, so the lady wasn't very enthusiastic because that is not she, or better said, her husband expected. Actually, they wanted to have sons, you know, and to get girls, you can avoid it because the girls are there, but that is not something you show off with it. And
Right.
The lady, these females, I can imagine, has her reason why she was not very glad, because she knows from maybe her own life that the girls don't have a very easy life in such countries.
Yes, I noticed. I offered her congratulations, and I saw a look on her face that was, it was kind of sad. She was not that excited about it, and
No,
that I
not
could
at all.
see that, and it was a little heartbreaking. One of the things about McDonough University that I noticed and I loved was the fact that there were so many women who were in their last year of medical school. Matter of fact, it was like 80% of the students were women. And that gave me great hope. Why is it at McDonough that so many women are being attracted into that field?
That is, of course, a very encouraging figure, and that is good so. And the reason had some different facets. So the ladies you have met, actually, there are not from the very poorest family, because otherwise they couldn't afford to go to a private university. That is one point. Maybe the other reason is that exactly while the ladies are so underestimated, so let's say not enthusiastically welcome into the man world, so they try to make some image. So to, let's say, be self-sufficient, to get a job, not to be dependent upon the man, for example. Maybe that is one point while the ladies are conscious of their situation and try to compensate it.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
If they can't afford to go to school, but I noticed even some of the guards there. There was a gentleman there who was a guard who was trying to find a sponsorship so that he could attend and go to school. It seems like that's what they're really looking for, is for the poor people to be sponsored so that they can, especially the women, so that they can go forward in life.
Of course, of course. You encounter repeatedly that the girls ask you if you can help her, sponsor her, and the fee for the university, college, and so on. Of course, but do you know, if you have nothing, you try everything,
right.
And that is quite normal. We would do everything to come to progress, to make our life better, and that is understandable. And they don't have much possibility to do anything. So when they see a foreigner, you know, they try.
Yes.
They assume that the foreigner is anyway richer than them anyway. But they try. They can't actually do anything wrong by trying it. And sometimes I have been witnessing, and so sometimes it is rewarding from their point of view.
Wow. You said here, you wrote, and I thought this paragraph was so impressive. As an obstetrician, over more than 3 decades, I have helped deliver tens of thousands of babies. And I'll tell you, I have never, ever seen a bad baby. So if a baby turns into a bad adult, something has gone terribly wrong. That is brilliant. Can you explain that to us?
Yeah, there are lots of reasons, and all of them are because learn the deficiency. For example, they haven't been taught that our way of lives is only one of millions. And by no means sacred. And so, if we would think in this way, we could only accept and respect the people, regardless of differences, colors, religion, language, nationality, culture, and whatever. And that is one point. The second point, they have got through their childhood, adult experiences that the violence is an answer. So that is quite normal because they haven't learned anything else to see in violence a solution for lots of problems. And that is why such terrible things happens, because if you can accept and respect someone and you have empathy and you can imagine the problem of this guy is your own, so you can't be violent to this person. So that is there are two points. So it's actually childhood is like to put in modern language a computer. If you have a computer, you need a software, and depend to the software you fit this computer, you get a different facet of computer, and that is so the childhood is not fed by right and social, let's say, softwares.
Good point. Good point. Now, the point that I read in the book, which you wrote, is about mirroring. People don't understand how to treat another person, but it's by mirroring the reflections. Whatever they put out, it comes back to them. Could you explain that a little bit more to us?
Yes, actually, you have the brilliant opportunity to dictate my behavior by your behavior. So if you smile at me, I am obliged to smile back. That is like a mirror. And vice versa. If you cry at me, okay, yeah, I get angry. And so the people are like mirror, and that is not a secret thing. For example, lots of shop assistants use this for their business. If you enter a shop, they treated you as though you were a king, do you know? And so they gave you a credit in advance. They assume they are a very good guy and very good a king, and so your ego doesn't allow you to not accept this, and you try to behave accordingly. And more than often, you leave the shop having bought more than you wanted, and probably not that you wanted. And for example, the police in English police doesn't carry any firearm. That is exactly the same principle. So they push towards you some portion of credit, goodness credit in advance, and hope that you are you are kept in this situation and won't get violent or won't get unpolite and so. So they give you a reputation, a good reputation. So in other words, it's if the reputation is damaged, so you are not ashamed of any wrongdoing. So that is the way we can influence or we can dictate the behavior of the other people toward us by simply treating them friendly. If you don't know anyone, there are two possibilities. Either you can think he is a devil, he is someone whom you don't know, want to kill you, or you think that is a very good man, that is an angel, unless you have experienced the otherwise. And I think the second one is the practical one. Do you know, even if you sometimes are disappointed, but nevertheless, the advantage is far, far more than be hostile to the people.
That was beautiful. And I agree. Actually, that's what we talk about, is a mirroring reflection also here on my show. What I found when I was in Germany, that the majority of the people also feel this way, because they were always helping us, even though we didn't speak the language, but they were always there to help us when we needed it, even to the point where they would take us to the place where we needed to go. It was incredible. So they were showing us so much hospitality that we often don't get here in the United States. And I was very impressed. So the German philosophy is very good. As I was talking about Dr. Ida's plan, who is the founder of Madonna University, he starts off with the premise that every person is good. Do you think if people recognize this, that it would end most of the violence and destruction in the world today? This is what we call the African philosophy. Would it work?
Yeah, of course. Of course. And that is articulated latest in Africa by Father Edebas, but actually that is a very old and ancient phrase. For example, in United Nations, at the building, top of the building, is written a poem. And I read you this poem in my own language, original language, and translate immediately. It says, بنی آدم اعضای یکدیگرند که در آفرینش ز یک گوهرند. چو عضوی به درد آورد روزگار، دیگر عضوها را نماند قرار. تو که از مهنت دیگران بیغمی، نشاید که نامند نهند آدمی. It means the old people are from the same origin. They are just like the different organs of the same body. So it is not possible that one organ in your body suffers, for example, liver, tooth, ear, eyes, whatever, and it is and you are indifferent. So if you are ignorant to the suffering of the other peoples, actually you are not human being.
Go ahead.
what it is called African philosophy. So that is an ancient way of thinking, so that we belong to a big family. And that is exactly why the problems are getting worse and worse, because we don't consider this. We are not conscious of this fact, and or if we are conscious, we are too greedy to do it. So the people are, we don't care of the suffering of people, and so the greediness is more than often the real reason. Do you know?
Yes.
I tell you a simple question. Do you know? It was a matter of course till decades ago that if you were thirsty, you can get somewhere water. Water was enough everywhere of the world, actually. And so some people have realized this and diverted the rivers and make dams and so, and make the water into the bottle and buy sell it to you. And yeah, no, maybe you are, some people have bread and but no water anymore. Can't afford to get water, for example.
Money, greed does affect a person by what they can see in another. And that's something that needs to be corrected. So how do you think we could go about getting this word out that every person is good? Could this, in fact, if we could get down to the very core level of a person's being, could we bring peace to an area? For example, I'm talking about the Boko Haram that happened, where the people took all of those teenage girls from an area close by to Ilili. What would it take for something like that to end? Because that was due to religion, wasn't it?
Yeah, there is only one way.
Okay.
That's really very clearly and without any consideration, declaring once forever that the religion is a private matter.
Mm-hmm.
That is just like a taste, a question of taste. You know, some people eat fish, some people fly, some of them, none of them, some of them are vegetarian. That is a matter of taste. So you shouldn't tolerate it and propagate it, that the way of your thinking to be transferred to other people, and to do with good example as a person, so that the other one aren't encouraged to do the other way around, namely means the way I think and my God, my religion, my praying, that is the only one, and all other are enemy of God's.
Right.
You know, that is, I have never heard so clearly from any politician saying, hello, gentlemen, ladies, religion, culture, language, music, they are sexuality, they are private things. Don't mingle it. It's not your business. How your neighbor is praying, not praying, eating, not whatever, you know. And as soon as it's not phrased clearly, you can't get the solution. I don't get tired to repeat that the phrasing a question is half of the solution. So in order to get the solution, you have to address the question very clearly, And that is what the people make capital of it, Boko Haram and ISIS and you know, there are different, thank goodness, there are lots of such groups. And that is the reason, because everyone meant,
Well, every religion is thinking that they have the answer, when in fact,
yes,
they don't have the answer, because
no.
Religion is an individual matter,
yes.
A private matter.
Yes, yes,
so,
exactly.
But these people that are trying to control and say, can we simply say to ISIS or Boko Haram, can we tell them, stop, it's none of your business? Can we, and are they going to pay attention? Hasn't it gone too far?
They have gone too far. That is the root of the problem. But the way to solve the problem now so developed, that is a different matter. So we don't have to confuse the root from the symptoms. Nowadays, actually, the only language these people can understand is really violence.
Uh-huh.
Quite definitely. And that is also a problem, because the lots of country, they have the means to stop these people. Do you know, if they interest were involved, were in danger, they put an end to the problem very immediately. And because they are far from the lots of European, American countries, do you know, okay, they do something, but very, very half-heartedly. So that's why I emphasize the only language in this stage. You know, they are not anymore children that you can educate and so on. So in this stage, what they do with innocent civilians can't be stopped by talking or something alike. They have only to feel that they can't do keep on going doing. And that is only to stop them by the same means, same tools, same weapons they use.
I see. So what you're saying is governments aren't really going after them to stop it. They're doing it half-heartedly, and it's past the time that they could actually stop all of this from happening immediately by a show of force saying
of
that
course.
You can't do that.
Of course.
So
of
that's
course.
A very good point. And it's curious to me as to why the governments will not do this.
Yeah, we are again in the same line, empathy, because they are not involved, because they can't imagine themselves where these poor ladies were.
Mm.
Are or where, do you know, that is it, that is not my business, do you know, okay, that's bad, I am sad, I am sorry, but okay, what can I do? They can do lots of things, but because the interests aren't immediately endangered, the interest, they don't do it, and that is bad, because if they don't do it, that is only a question of time, as we see. They are occupied half of Iraq, half of Syria, half of Nigeria, and other countries, Mali and so, and they are spreading.
Mm-hmm.
So that is short-sightedness, that they think, okay, that is far away. Now it's far away. But wait, these refugees, that is the best example. You know, if the people could be helped at home, they wouldn't risk their lives simply to enter the European countries.
Mm-hmm.
And another example of poverty, what is very plastic, for example, you have heard from the Somalian pirates.
Mm.
They captured lots of tankers and so. So they were simply very peaceful fishermen. After the big companies empty fish the shores where they could fish and earn their livings, they turned to terrorists, pirates.
Yeah, they had no
So,
choice.
no choice. You can't stay and see your children starving. Every means is okay if you can feed your kids. That is it.
So the governments are not doing enough to have their citizens prosper. And they're not doing enough for the safety of the citizens. So the role of governments that I'm seeing right now is simply to allow war or destruction instead of stopping it.
We go back again to the to fill with people. If you have the remedy, if you can help, if you can avoid some disaster, you do it if you empathy with people. And if you don't, that's the result.
You're right. You're right. So we have to do it first on an individual basis, do what we can to help another, and to first start within ourselves to see the good in every person. So
That is exactly the core of the story. As an individual, for example, if you are, let's say, encountering an extremist, Boko Haram guy, if you are sincere and tells this guy, "Hello, that's your way of life, and I have a different way of life, but nevertheless, I respect your point of view as long as you do the same." In this way, if an understandable is possible, that is only on this way that you actually acknowledge the guy, only under the condition that he respects your points of view too. And if you encounter these people, I have repeatedly tried, and they are rather accessible, rather mild, and rather astonishingly cooperative,
So you're saying if we go up and we are approached by a person such as Boko Haram or their group of people, we are to respect them first in order to get that respect back. What?
Exactly.
Okay, now that's makes a lot of sense, especially with my show. But what if they will not listen?
Okay, that is the ultimate remedy, the ultimate choice, violence, the language they understand. But before to do this last step, I would do the first steps, and that is not done. I have never heard that any, let's say, president or minister or whatever has invited some of these guys and talked to them.
That's right. That's
You know,
right.
or have you ever heard?
Right. You are absolutely right. We've everybody's missed the most important component of it all.
Yes,
Wow.
communication,
Yeah.
communication. That's incredible. At eye levels, hey, gentlemen, sit down, have a cup of tea, let's chat. Can we do anything? Maybe there is a possibility we can work together. We can agree, we can stop. And I am not that blue eye. I am not claiming that it is the ultimate solution of problems. No, but that is never done, and you have enough examples.
Yes.
For example, between Israel Palestinian, for so many years, you know, that is decades, they are warring each other, and Israel has spent milliards, you know, partially of this money spent for these poor people could solve the problem, you know, and there are enough examples. For example, the problem between Iran and United States. 30 years they haven't spoke to each other, although they were really, there is only one leader who has every power in Iran, never invited to a speech, never contacted, you know,
wow.
And all the other means, but not the main person. And that's not logic.
That's
logical.
Yes, you're correct. So the people, we do have a communication problem in that we're not taking them and we're not treating them as adults in which they can resolve their issues with us and we can resolve our issues with them. And that is so true with Israel and Palestine. I don't think I've ever heard of a meeting between the two that could possibly resolve the issues instead of warring. That's primitive thinking.
No, they have only always, if any, 10 mediators, you know, 10 mediators with different language, different culture, and the person directly involved. They never communicate to each other. That is not imaginable. Do you know, if you have any problem with me, the shortest way is to communicate, ask me, gentlemen, can we do anything? Is there any possibility to solve this problem? Instead to, yeah.
Wow. So,
mediator.
Yeah, many are exerting power rather than to communicate. And that possibly if women could have more of a role in leadership, maybe some of that could be resolved at a faster level.
I think so because there are two aspects on this point. One of them, as I press the coin, it's not the wheel, it is the pill. So there are hormones. Do you know testosterone is simply more aggressive than estrogen? The men are, from the nature, through this hormone, more aggressive. And the ladies, not so. And you can even see it quite visibly. For example, two ladies can communicate with each other at eye levels.
Uh-huh.
You know, shouldn't be necessarily one dominating the other one. They are very glad, satisfied if they are on the same level. You know, they are friends simply.
Right.
And it is seldom by men. They have to dominate. One of them should dominate the other one. You know, always a latent fight in this regard.
Mm.
And that is why I strongly believe that the women as leader really are an alternative. And we have enough example in last 50 years or so even. And all of them, if it is Margaret Thatcher, if it's Indira Gandhi, if it is Nazare Bhutto, if there are here the...
Merkel?
Yeah, they are all past the examining of the time. They weren't by under not worse than the gentleman.
So we have a chance if we could elect more women to be world leaders, then we have a chance maybe of bringing about world peace through the act of communication, less aggressiveness, less testosterone, and more estrogen. Right?
Right. So we are now two medicals, not more politics or not. You are right. That's true.
Oh, that's good. Well, that gives us direction on what we can now teach our children.
Yes.
Vote for the women instead of the men if you want a peaceful society. So that's a great place to stop.
And keep on going on your consciousness. That is very important to be aware of things. Very important. If you are not aware of things, so you are not conscious of it. They are not exist. So if they are not exist, you can't look for any solution. Good luck.
Dr. Danny, thank you so much for everything you are doing for the women in Nigeria. Oh my goodness. And for that hospital and for just sharing with the world today through our show what it's going to take to bring peace to the world. And I so appreciate that. Thank you, Dr.
I
Danny.
thank you too.
Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back next week with another great show from Law of Attraction Talk Radio. If you'd like to comment on tonight's show, send an email to Jules at LOARadionetwork.com and have a great week.